world. I'm John Batchelor. The war in Gaza, the war in the north. Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President of Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, joins me. We're going to start in the south because there's news. It's heartbreaking news. Families of six dead hostages retrieved from Gaza say government abandoned them. The news is that six casualties from the original kidnapped group, the abducted group, their remains have been found in Khan Yunis. What does this mean? What does it tell us about it? I understand the families are brokenhearted, but we learn from these revelations. And Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Found in Khan Yunis, I'm presuming in the tunnels, but I don't know. There's no clarity here, nor is there clarity about how they died. What is Khan Yunis? What have we discovered about it that we didn't know before? Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening, John. Yeah, Khan Yunis is in central Gaza. It was the scene of fierce fighting when the Israelis had reached that spot. If you'll recall, they started in the north of Gaza. So they started in Gaza City and Jabalia, and they worked their way south. When they hit Khan Yunis, the IDF began to understand that there was an incredibly complex labyrinth of tunnels, far more than I think they had expected. I think the IDF had expected that there was going to be more underground infrastructure, more military infrastructure in the north, in Gaza City. That was always seen as the center of gravity. As we're now getting some clarity over these months, I think we can say with certainty that Khan Yunis was sort of a center of gravity for all of the tunnels that spread out. If you can think about it, maybe as the center of a spider web. Of course, we do know that the southern tunnels were the supply line, and we can speak about that, Egypt's role along what's known as the Philadelphia Corridor. That was also crucial, but Khan Yunis does appear now to be that the center, the vortex, if you will, of what has been happening underground and from a military perspective all around the Gaza Strip. As for the six bodies that were recovered, the six hostages, these were men, older. I think there was never really much of a chance for them, unfortunately, because of A, the treatment that they were receiving from Hamas, but also the fact that they all very likely served in the IDF and were not going to be treated particularly well by their captors. It's obviously a very sad day in Israel, not unexpected, but sad nonetheless. And we now know that Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, has been having conversations with the hostage families. And, amidst talk of a possible breakthrough, my sense is that Israel is still very skeptical of any kind of a trade involving Hamas prisoners, involving the trading of hostages in exchange for a ceasefire. That just does not seem to be in Israel's interest, particularly as they appear to be gaining more and more control over the Gaza Strip.
The headline, and it's some hours old, but it's moving very fast, confirming Netanyahu accepts U.S. deal proposal, says the Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken. Hamas must now do the same. I'm confused about how the U.S. is managing this, because Hamas has never indicated accepting of anything at all without its precondition of the IDF leaving Gaza. So I'm puzzled as to why the administration continues to negotiate, especially now that Hamas comes down to Sinwar. He's taken all roles for himself, and he's not a reasonable man. He's a fanatic, and he makes declarations on the basis of we're winning. We've got the Israelis right where we want them. So what is the State Department? Is this a cynical expression of international diplomacy? Is this for domestic consumption? What's your measure, Jonathan?
The way I view it right now is that Antony Blinken press diplomatically toward a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. But at the end of the day, we know that Hamas is not interested in any compromise. We know that Yahya Sinwar, the consolidated leader of Hamas, is not interested in making any of the concessions that are being asked of him. I think it's notable that we now see the negotiations taking place in Cairo and not in Doha. I believe that the center of gravity is shifting away from the Qataris. I think they have now been revealed to have very little influence over the organization. Once Sinwar took over, there were no political leaders that were worth a salt. There was simply no reason to talk to those leaders because they had been edged out. There was a moment there where we believed that maybe one or two of the Doha-based leadership could emerge as a front runner. That has all collapsed. And so really what we're dealing with right now is a man who's running Gaza, running Hamas from underground. He is closely aligned with Iran and with Hezbollah, and he is coordinating with them on his next steps. And the U.S. obviously has very little influence over his decision making right now. If anything, it seems like the U.S. should be trying to, I don't know about negotiate with Iran, but they should be trying to pressure the Iranians to end this, because that they are the ones, in my view, that have the power to do so. If they commanded Sinwar to stop fighting, if they commanded Hezbollah to stop fighting, I think the war would end. So I think that Antony Blinken is barking up the wrong tree, as one might say. This is a facade. It is all one big act that will soon collapse.
Looking post-war in Gaza, the Philadelphia corridor, the Philadelphia route, it's a sand pit about 200 or 300 yards across, and it divides the international sovereignty between Gaza and the Sinai. The Israelis now control it, patrol it, and are investigating it all the time, revelations of tunnels. The Egyptians have not explained why the tunnels exist, nor their conduct of supervision of the Philadelphia corridor these last years on their side of the line. My understanding is that in the deal that Hamas will not accept, Egypt takes control of the Rafah crossing, and Israel remains in charge of the Philadelphia corridor. Is that correct, and is that acceptable to Cairo?
That's our understanding right now, John, is that that is what the Egyptians want. They, of course, already control the border on their side. The Israelis control the border on the Gaza side. What Egypt has been unhappy about is even the prospect of Israel being on the Gaza side. They don't want the Israelis looking at the tunnels and the infrastructure. They don't want them there on the border. My sense is that Cairo has not yet been held to account for having facilitated those tunnels and allowed them to operate and perhaps taken a cut from whether it was the Qataris or Hamas itself or from Iran. There has been really no revelation as of yet about what was going on over there. The Israelis, I think, are doing everything that they can to keep their relationship with Cairo intact. This is, of course, their longest lasting peace agreement dating back to the late 1970s. Brokered by Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat. This is not something the Israelis want to gamble with, but at the same time, they cannot allow for the tunnels to continue to operate. They cannot allow for Hamas to sustain supply lines. There was an interesting readout today of Antony Blinken meeting with the foreign minister of Egypt. There was no mention of the Philadelphia corridor, no mention of the tunnels. I have to ask at this point, what is Antony Blinken even thinking? I understand that he wants to get a deal done. He wants to bring this war to an end. But I do not understand how anything can be done moving forward until everyone is held to account. And that is what is the most surprising to me. It looks as if right now the U.S. is handing the Egyptians a free pass after essentially violating the Camp David Accords and being complicit in the murder of 1,200 people on October 7.
And the Philadelphia Corridor, is there a vision of what can control it going forward? To turn it back to Gaza is reckless. To give it to Egypt is reckless. Who is coming forward to secure it?
Well, my understanding is that the Israelis would like to offer the Egyptians the underground technology that has served the Israelis well for the last decade plus. In other words, what they have is sensors and blockades underground that would prevent the construction of tunnels and would prevent these tunnels from continuing to exist. if the Egyptians are willing to accept that technology and if they're willing to deploy it with Israeli or American oversight, we could begin to see a solution to the Gaza border problem, at least as it relates to the Sinai. But again, everything has been hush-hush. There is no official talk. There's not even informal chatter. I've been shocked at the dearth of reporting coming out of Cairo or Jerusalem as it relates to this very thorny issue.
Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President of Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We're going north. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.